So I'm going to keep this one in mind. Anytime I tell a story on the air, it will be used against me. And the score was 24-23. It was not 24-3, like the original open said right there. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. How about Mason in Ireland? You know, there's something about hopping on. Let me say this about Mason in Ireland. That is a institution in L.A., how big that sports talk radio show has been for years together. And when I think I'm going to hop on and talk a little bit about some sports, and now I know that every time I hop on with those two guys, it has nothing to do with sports, a little bit intimidating. You got to just take it. Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks. There's a lot we're going to get into tonight, and there's a few things that I have to do within tonight's show. So supposedly, I'm supposed to have more fun on the show. All right? This is the, so far, what I've been told in my big executive meeting that I had yesterday inside the conference room. You know, everything changes when you go into a conference room. When you go into a conference room, you got to keep your back straight. Everything is different. So what do they tell me? They don't tell me, hey, work on your content. Hey, the guests that you get on, have it be this. You know what, Alan? We want you to make sure you watch as much Dodgers baseball as possible so you can know the Dodgers as good as you know the Lakers. No. It's loosen up. It's definitely crack more jokes and definitely talk about things that have absolutely nothing to do with sports. All right, that's noted. I got it. One of the things I want to start off with. Lakers and the Bucks, or Lakers and Philly yesterday, and we know how big the rest of the week is for the Lakers. You got the Milwaukee Bucks coming up on Friday. Bucks already took care of business at home against Indiana Pacers. So you got the Milwaukee Bucks, and you got the Los Angeles Clippers. So those are the games that everybody's going to be talking about as we, you know, obviously as we get to the weekend. And those are the two games that, look, it's very safe to say these are statement type of games for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to read off what LeBron James did in the last game. LeBron's stat line, 22 points, 14 assists, and 7 rebounds. By the way, 2 block shots, had a triple-double in the last game, the 34, 13, and 12 that he had in New Orleans without Anthony Davis. LeBron's ridiculous. That was his stat line yesterday. AD's stat line, 37 points, 13 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 13, 19 from the field, 4 or 5 from 3. AD had himself a night last night. There was a lot of conversation and chatter about Anthony Davis. And the conversation about AD is he being overlooked playing with LeBron this year? And it's kind of interesting to hear that because, you know, here the Lakers are, got a legitimate chance at an NBA championship. Here the Lakers obviously sitting in a position where this weekend, I think, would define, these next two games are going to define whether the Lakers are the favorites to win an NBA championship or they're not. I really feel like I can kind of simplify it, make it that simple. The simplicity is you beat the Bucks and the Clippers, then everyone's running through you to get to the NBA Finals. You don't beat the Bucks and the Clippers, or let's say you lost to the Clippers, then you're on the outside looking in. And some people don't think the regular season is that important. I obviously feel like the regular season is 100% that important. About Anthony Davis, is he being overlooked? If you're watching Lakers basketball, Laker fans know how important AD is. There's no question about that. Like, let's not make the argument that the Lakers can win without Anthony Davis. But if you're also watching Lakers basketball, you're seeing just how great LeBron James has been. And the reason why this is a conversation, the reason why this came up is earlier today on First Take, this was the conversation. This was a topic. And I'm always, you know, I'm always interested to hear what Kellerman's take is on the Lakers or Stephen A. Smith on local topics, right? Especially Kellerman. Kellerman, you know, spent 5-6 years here doing a show with Marcellus Wiley. You know, one of the best shows, radio shows, in my opinion, that I've ever heard. But that was such a great combination. So I'm always curious to get Kellerman's take. When I hear that Anthony Davis is being overlooked by LeBron James, I don't feel like that's the case at all. As a Laker fan, and all Laker fans that are tuned in, or people that are just driving around Southern California, we all know AD's value to this Lakers team. He's going to end up winning defensive player of the year this year. You know, unless he basically plays no defense the rest of the way, that's his award to win. We know how valuable he is from a points perspective. He can get you 25 a night, or like last night, he could put up 37 or get you 40, whatever the case is. But LeBron's season is another level. And when we talk about overlooking certain players, I don't think AD's being overlooked. I think there's a part of us that also want to make sure, okay, AD, do it in these next couple of games and then do it in the postseason. Because LeBron James has been there before. LeBron James has won NBA championships before. LeBron James has been to the finals, lost, won, whatever the case is. He's kind of gone through it all. We've seen him win finals MVP, win regular season MVP. For AD, this is all new. This is different for Anthony Davis. I want to play you real quick what Max Kellerman said on First Take. He thinks AD is being overlooked.
What we really have here, ignoring the way it fits, because usually two top five players, in fact, I can't think of a time when two top five players in the world played on the same team and that team wasn't a powerhouse. A powerhouse. When two of those guys are on the same team, they're a powerhouse. And that's what's happening. So LeBron gets credit for making it work as the point guard. But really, this is about two of the best five in the world on the same team. And AD is one of them. If you took LeBron off, would this team be any good? Of course not. Would they even be a playoff team? Maybe, maybe not. But the same goes for AD. But somehow our focus is on LeBron. Yeah, I think AD's being overlooked.
LeBron 100% deserves all the credit that he's getting right now. No question about it, LeBron James is the not just the best player on this team. I still think he's the most valuable player right now. In my opinion, I see what Max Kellerman is trying to say. I see how Kellerman's trying to bump up and hype up Anthony Davis, as he should. We know how good AD is. But LeBron James is arguably having the best season in the NBA right now. LeBron James, we've got a chance to see when LBJ goes to the bench, what happens to this Lakers team. It's completely different. Lakers have won some games without Anthony Davis. And of course, we can't go anywhere without AD. We cannot. But I don't think there's anybody overlooking Anthony Davis. Part of it is what LeBron James is doing this year. The other part of it is we know what LeBron James has done in the playoffs, in the postseason. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about what the expectations should be for AD coming into these two statement games and what to expect coming into the postseason. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
It's just a funny show. You know, like the show is just funny. That's why I got an opportunity to crack a mic. I'm a comedian for 2.5 hours. Nah, that's not a good one. Don't use that one next time. We'll find good ones. All right, we'll find good ones. Here's the thing, Jess. Let me just say this. All right, it is kind of comical that conversation to have because I'm like, what? So what do you guys mean? They're like, yeah, just be funny.
You want to be like a clown or what?
But here's the thing. When you hear somebody say, like, imagine if you're with some friends, you're like, man, this guy is so funny. Hey, say something funny. You're like, what are you talking about?
Meow.
You can't do that on the spot or anything like that. Look, the actual clips, you know, all these little sound bites that we play, I'm going to find some ones that I feel like are comedy. I'm going to find some ones that I feel like will fit, okay? The meow one's a great one.
Yeah.
Definitely not that one. Okay. These are all ones we're not going
to
hear.
Okay? I don't agree with that, but again, you have the right to your opinion.
You got to love it. You got to love it.
But
it is just funny that, like, that's the feedback I got. I was like, okay, but what about the show? What do you guys think the interaction with the callers? How's the pacing of the show? No. Just be more funny. Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. All right. So we're hitting on this conversation about Anthony Davis and LeBron, and if we're overlooking Anthony Davis in some shape, way, or form, if he's being overlooked because of what LeBron James is doing this year and he's kind of in the shadow of LeBron James. Listen, I mean, I can't find a way to talk about Anthony Davis more from a Laker perspective. You can't. And he's going to be he's the best player, in my opinion, on defense. He's one of the best players on offense. He had a game earlier this year. He was 6 of 21 from the field. Just a couple games ago, 6 of 21 from the field. Everybody's like, he didn't have a good game. He had 14 rebounds and 6 block shots. That's what winners do. They find ways, you know, obviously to be effective on the court.
So let me stay with that for a quick second. I know how good Anthony Davis is, but I've also never seen AD in the big time moments yet. I don't count second round against New Orleans or in New Orleans as a big time moment. What I count as a big time moment, let's use as an example, the game on Friday on national television when everyone's going to be watching the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Los Angeles Lakers, the number one team in the Eastern Conference, the number one team in the Western Conference. That's a big time regular season moment. Okay? Game coming up on Sunday. Nationally televised game at 12:30 on ABC, obviously also on 710 ESPN. That's a big time regular season moment against the Los Angeles Clippers. As a Laker fan, that's the one curiosity about Anthony Davis moving forward. The curiosity is, we've seen LeBron do it in big time moments. We've seen LeBron James deliver NBA championships. We've seen LeBron James carry teams on his own. We've seen LeBron James lose championships. So we've got a chance to see all that. We haven't got that opportunity yet with Anthony Davis. That's actually part of the reason why I'm so excited for the rest of the ways, because we get to see things from players we've never seen it from. Anthony Davis could very easily be one of those players that we look back on 5, 7, 8 years from now and say, AD is one of the greatest to do it for the Los Angeles Lakers. We have not seen it yet. So I think any of the hesitation with AD, it's not that anybody's overlooking AD or underappreciating AD. It comes down to two things. Number one, LeBron's been ridiculous this season. I'll make a case a little bit later why I think he's the MVP. But that's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is we just haven't seen AD do it in those big moments yet, because he hasn't been in a predicament or a position. It's not his fault. You're in the Western Conference. You're playing for the Pelicans. You don't really have all that much talent around you. It's not his fault. So the question I propose out there is, do you think we're overlooking Anthony Davis? Do you think as a Laker fan base, we're overlooking Anthony Davis? I don't feel like I am. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I don't feel like I'm overlooking Anthony Davis. But what I will tell you is, of course, I'm waiting for these big-time moments coming up. Of course, I'm waiting for Friday against Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, the best record in the NBA. I'm waiting for Sunday against the Clippers afternoon game. It's a Clippers home game, which means, you know, they'll have 40% Clipper fans at the game. I'm waiting for that moment against Montrezl Harrell and the Clippers. Those are the big-time regular season moments where my hope is I can sit back and say, there is no answer for Anthony Davis. That's not overlooking Anthony Davis. That's knowing that, okay, AD is one of the best in the NBA, top five in the NBA. When that spotlight is on and everyone's looking at you, and the Lakers need you to play your best basketball, that's what we're waiting for. I hope that makes sense too, because I do feel like, you know, AD is no question about it, one of the best in the NBA. But it's also important to see a player do it in those type of predicaments, in those type of situations. That's what the Laker greats have done. You know, I obviously don't have to go through the laundry list of Laker players that have delivered in big-time moments. This is AD's first big-time moment with the Los Angeles Lakers. Really, I think his first big-time moment of his career. He's never had a moment like this. Sharon in Los Feliz, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, Alan. This is Sharon. I just want to tell you something. I've been listening to ESPN for years. I've won Langer's. John and Steve know me. I remember when Amanda was a producer. I remember when Greg, everybody, okay? Here's the deal. Whatever they said to you, forget it. I could get a petition right now of women that think you are, have the sexiest voice on radio.
That's what I'm talking about Sharon. Let them know, Sharon.
You do. Listen to me. You do. And also, you state the facts. I don't want funny. Funny can be with John and Steve. Funny is with the morning show with Keyshawn. You delivered the goods, man. I am so grateful that you are on the air. That's why I'm back with ESPN. After Kobe's death, you're the only person I listen to. I've got literally, my friends come over and we just want to hear Alan. Let your guy, your producers know.
I appreciate that, Sharon. Look at this.
Oh, God, if they ever take you off the air, I swear to God, there's going to be an uproar. You are the best thing that ESPN has had because you're real, you're genuine, and you like callers. You like the people. And let me tell you, you can't buy that. Don't think funny, man. You're so good. I learn more from you in two hours than I do in a week.
That's very, very, very nice of you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Sharon. Look at Sharon coming through. I'm like blushing right now. Sharon making it happen. Sharon, listen.
Sharon knows what she's talking about.
Sharon, listen. Things have changed, all right? We are now just comedians. That's it. That's all we're doing on the show. There is no more Lakers talk. What is that? We don't do that on the show anymore.
No, Lakers talk are reserved for Mondays.
Oh, you got to love it.
Tuesdays if there's a game on Monday.
That was very nice of Sharon. Very appreciative. All right. How do I transition from that?
Wonderful.
Do you think we're overlooking Anthony Davis and Michael Thompson? Yes, I'm doing the pregame show with MT. By the way, Lake fans, I do want your opinion on this. 877-710-ESPN. Do you think AD's being overlooked? Yes or no? I don't think he's being overlooked, but I also think he still has a lot to prove. And I'm not talking, he's done everything he's supposed to do up to this point. Friday and Sunday, can we see a different type of AD? As we get into mid-April and then into May and then hopefully into late June, can we see a different type of Anthony Davis? Of course, that's the hope. That's why AD is here. 877-710-ESPN on that topic. And then Michael Thompson. I had MT picking this weekend's games. Ooh, you guys are going to be surprised about MT. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. It's comedy.
Stay sad all day.
It's comedy hour, everybody. Comedy hour. I mean, of course you tune into this show and you tune into the Sliwa Show because I just crack jokes for 2.5 hours. That's exactly why you're tuning in.
You're my boy, Blue!
That, by the way, I'm going to use a lot. I just want you guys to know. If I got to go back and get movie clips and, you know, we got to add some sound and some bites to this whole thing, I'm going to be very selective. But Will Ferrell, You're My Boy Blue, that's going to be used probably more than any of the other ones. Jess, give me a quick heads up, all right? If something's coming, I don't know when these are coming. I don't know what you got. I don't know what you're doing back there. Can we communicate a little bit?
No, that's
why
they're drops.
Can I get a little eye contact?
That's why they're drops. I can't hit that.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
By the way, as long as it's not like, I can't do the horns and the wit, like all that stuff. Like that's. What are you doing back there? No, go ahead. You explain on the radio. Everybody that's sitting there, you explain what's happening.
Explain what?
What are you doing back there?
I'm hitting drops, you know? That's what we're doing.
I don't think they want that.
How do you know what they want?
I feel like a really good pulse of what they want.
You have a good pulse on what they want?
I'll tell you what they want. They want Anthony Davis on Friday, okay, to come out against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the number one team in the Eastern Conference and just absolutely ball out, play the type of defense that he has. And then, you know what, I kind of want to put Friday's game to the side for a quick second. How about the Lakers and the Clippers going at it this Sunday? Let me tell you guys what Michael Thompson told me in the pregame show. By the way, you're not going to find anybody more knowledgeable than MT when it comes to basketball, period. Any level, you're not going to find anybody more knowledgeable than Michael Thompson. You're also not going to find somebody that genuinely cares about the Los Angeles Lakers, right? MT does, John Ireland does. You know who the homers are. MT said yesterday, we're doing our predictions of who's going to, how the Lakers are going to do against the Bucks. I was basically talking about the week. Are they going to sweep the week? He said, Philly, no problem. Lakers took care of them. He said, Milwaukee, I think we're going to beat the Bucks at Staples Center. Then it came down to Sunday. Sunday, he said, why am I going to pick the Los Angeles Lakers? I'm paraphrasing everybody. Why am I going to pick the Los Angeles Lakers? They have to show me they can beat the Clippers before I pick them to beat the Clippers. I kind of can't argue with that. If you're already 0-2 against them, don't you have to beat the Clippers at least on one occasion? And I cannot tell you how frustrated I get when people say it's just the regular season. That part is probably the most irritating conversation I could have on the radio. I'm like, what do you mean it's just the regular season? These are statement games. We're in March now. This isn't December. This isn't October or November. These games matter. And MT says, I'm not going to pick the Lakers over the Clippers unless I want to see it. I want to believe it. I want to see it before I believe it. All right? That's exactly what MT said. All right, I want to go back real quick. I know I got a lot of callers that went ahead on Anthony Davis. So this is the question I'm asking Laker fans. Are we overlooking Anthony Davis? Kellerman thinks that AD is being overlooked because he's playing alongside LeBron James. I don't think that's the case. But I will tell you right now, LeBron has definitely been more valuable than Anthony Davis, but that's not even the conversation. You got to have as much talent as you possibly can on the team. Lakers ain't winning a championship without AD, vice versa, all that. But do you think Anthony Davis is being overlooked? Joey, calling in from Hawaii. Appreciate you calling all the way from out there. Joey, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, buddy. You there, Joey? Appreciate it, Joey. No, that's a great conversation. Appreciate you chipping in on that one. Daniel in L.A. Daniel, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, I just want to say I don't think we're actually overlooking. I just think that he's not dominant enough. Like, he tends to play a little timid and soft sometimes. However, that little stretch he had going into halftime against Philly, if he plays more like that more often, no one would overlook him.
Yeah, and I'll say this, but that's against Philly, right? So, like you just mentioned there, can we do it against the Bucks? By the way, he had a good performance in Milwaukee, but can we do it against the Clippers? Can Anthony Davis be the difference of the Lakers winning those two games? I'm not going to say he's churning some heads if he does do that. We know his talent. We know how good Anthony Davis is. But it's those big-time moments that right now, as a Laker fan, oh, that spotlight's only going to get bigger and bigger as the season progresses. Of course it is. How is it not? We got a shot at number 17. A chance at number 17 this year. A lot of that's going to fall on AD's back. Paul on the 10 freeway, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Alan, you're doing a great job, all jokes aside. Back to AD. He's not being overlooked. AD is doing what AD does. But when you come to a team like the Lakers, it's all about winning. If you guys win a championship with AD, he's doing his job. He will not be overlooked. If you guys don't win, he may be overlooked and may be the scapegoat.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, Paul. I mean, come playoff time. And I do feel like, look, I don't feel that Anthony Davis isn't going to deliver for the Lakers. I got an incredible amount of confidence for AD. But LeBron, we've seen it before. I mean, LeBron is just ridiculous this season. LeBron has done everything for the Lakers. We've seen LBJ so far this year with the Lakers, and we've seen him do it in the past. Obviously, whether in Cleveland, Miami, whatever the case is. AD, there's still a little bit there where you're trying to figure out, okay, is Anthony Davis in those big moments going to be an unstoppable force? He should be, by the way. Here's LeBron yesterday post-game show with talking about AD.
That's everything I expected and more. That's why I wanted him here. And when you get a generational talent like that and you have an opportunity to get him, just try to do whatever you can to try to get him. And, and I gave my opinion on, what I thought he could bring to this franchise. I gave my thoughts about the player, but not only the player, the person. Hopefully they took my advice to heart, and obviously ultimately they made the decision to, do what we did in the offseason. But I mean, it's no surprise to me. I already knew how incredible the guy is. He had 50 in All-Star game. 30s, 20s, 40s, and 20s he had when he was with the Pelicans, and just doing the things that he was doing. It was just like, at that size, there's not too many guys done that in this league.
All you got to do now, AD, is make these weekend games your stamp in a Los Angeles Lakers jersey. It really would be to this point, right?
so far for Anthony Davis, just his career. You get some big time wins against the Bucks and the Clippers, and I'm not asking Anthony Davis to do it on his own, because you just can't do that in the league to begin with. But man, you got Giannis coming up on Friday, and then after that, you get a chance at the Clippers. Who the Clippers going to put on him? Montrezl Harrell? How's Montrezl Harrell going to stop him? Zubats? Come on, let's not even have the conversation. Who are they going to put on him? Maybe Kawhi Leonard. Maybe they try Kawhi Leonard on him. Robert in Porter Ranch. Robert, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, bud.
Hi. My nickname for AD is Glass, just like Sam Jackson character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a big advocate to get AD, but unfortunately, he hasn't proven himself against the tough teams that matter, like the Clippers. He disappears. He either becomes a 35% three-point shooter, or he's like a little girl. He's afraid of attacking the basket.
Robert, here's my question for you. My question is, so what do you want to see this weekend? Explain to me what you want to see from AD this weekend, because I think AD has been remarkable this year. You got some big-time games coming up where you can really put your stamp. What do you want to see from AD this weekend?
Listen, AD's been good against the inferior team. That's, if you go check out his stats against the good teams, he just disappears.
So what do you want this weekend? So tell me, Robert, explain to me what you want this weekend. So against the Bucks and the Clippers, what do you want to see this weekend?
I want to see AD attacking the basket mm-hmm. and not getting hurt. I want to see AD making most of his three-point shots. I want him to be a relevant player that we can depend on to build a team around him after LeBron's gone. So far, I don't think we should even get him next year, because he's going to break every Laker fan's heart, and we're going to lose against the Clippers.
Robert, I couldn't disagree more. If you think that he's not delivering so far this year. Point I'm making is not that he's not delivering so far this year. The point that I'm making is very, very simple. Big time moments, big time games coming up right now. You can put your stamp down. But to say he's not delivering, and to even think that we shouldn't even re-sign him next year, come on now. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? I mean, that's beyond disrespectful to a player that's making it happen this season. Can't wait for the Bucks game. I really can't wait for that Lakers-Bucks game. That Lakers-Bucks game, and the only reason why I can't wait for that game is because it just happens to be Friday. Lakers-Clippers is that's the bigger of the two matchups. But I cannot wait for the Lakers getting that opportunity, go up against the Bucks, and get a little bit of that revenge game.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
It's a funny show. I mean, I don't know what more you guys want me to do. This is what I do now. Jess, let me hit the sound bites, okay? I'm going to hit the sound bites.
Where's the fun in that for me?
Because that's not good. That's not a good one. We can come up with better ones than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to try them all out. So, you know, just drop the show. There's going to be different ones.
I'll give you the thumbs up and the thumbs down.
And it doesn't matter, because I'm going to play it either way if I think it's good.
How'd the guy get so much confidence? Relax back there. Relax. Just give it a second here.
All
right, let me take a quick call here. Trevor in L.A. Trevor, you're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, bud.
What's up, man?
Trev, just working on the comedy factor of the show. Just, you know, I'm just working on material. That's what this has become now. So, Trev,
Steve, and I agree with everything that you're saying. I'm with you. This is what he has.
Just be quiet, Steven. Hello? Sorry.
What is happening over there,
whoa,
fellas?
Whoa, what's going on?
You guys got two guys on the same call?
Yeah, we're on our way to go hoop right now, and he's getting all hot, heated.
All right,
I just don't believe. I don't think the regular season games are that important. You know, who even knows if we play the Clippers in the playoffs or we end up playing the Bucks in the finals? Like, these games are not the end all be all of who's going to be the favorite or not. We're still going to be the toughest team to beat 4 out of 7. Back in the day when Kobe, they didn't win all the games against the Kings in the regular season. They didn't beat the Celtics both times, and then they end up winning the title. I think we're overplaying how big the regular season games are.
Here's what I think, Trev, here's what I think would happen. What I think would happen is if the Lakers were 3-0 against the Bucks and the Clippers, every Laker fan, including myself, will be walking around my chest out saying, look, We're taking care of all the big squads. We're taking care of the good teams, the bad teams. But because we're 0-3, I think there's times that Laker fans are saying, no, no, the regular season doesn't matter. It matters, man. These are statement games. You don't think Friday and Sunday matter?
They matter in the short term, like for what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks, but they do not matter in 2 months when we would see them in the playoffs. They just don't matter. If you've been a Laker fan long enough, you've known that we go through highs and lows and lows. And every season we won titles. All we did back in the day was have these moments where we're like, oh, the Lakers aren't good enough. Kobe's not passing the ball enough. We're losing these games we should be winning. Then we end up winning the chip and everyone's like, oh my God, we're the best. And that happens all the time.
Trev, I got a much more important question. So between you and your buddy, who's taking the final shot if the game is tied in this pickup game that you guys are about to run?
Oh, he is.
The guy who agrees with you.
Listen. I love that you didn't even hesitate. You didn't even hesitate. You were ready to pass the ball. Appreciate you guys calling in. You know, I'm not going to lie. Last week, game on the line, I had a lot of confidence. I took the final shot. You know what happened? I missed. Then the guy that I was guarding... Just relax over there. Just give me a second.
That's the point.
The guy that I was guarding hits the game winner. That's game. Now I got to go wait 2 games before next game comes up. All right, we got Dylan Hernandez, LA Times. We'll talk a little bit about UCLA. Of course, we're going to talk about the Dodgers. This will be a good conversation. Spring training is in full effect right now. Man, baseball's got my attention. And I'm a casual fan. I'm not a big baseball guy. But they got my attention. Can baseball find a way to get people like me into the sport this upcoming year? That's what they're missing. A 37-year-old where it's their third favorite sport, NFL, NBA, and then comes baseball. All right, Dylan Hernandez coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Woo! All right, so this is where we're at right now. It's kind of funny when you look at spring training, and I'm not one, by the way, I've never been to spring training. I've never been to Arizona for spring training. Curtis, have you been? You ever been to spring training?
No, I know someone who did it. It's almost like a...
I like that reference. Someone who did it.
Yeah, I'm very...
It's just spring training. It's not like a crime.
I'm baseball too, but that's like a mega kind of trip that like only
I know people kind of that literally every single year they're like, oh yeah we do an annual spring training trip,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like that's always the conversation. I still have never done it. I don't even know what I'm missing out on. I have no idea what I'm missing out on, but I still haven't been to spring training before. Dodgers are playing right now, by the way. They're 6-5 so far in spring training, and not that these games matter or anything like that, but I think it just more comes down to a lot of these guys getting their reps in and everything else. 6-4, they're up 4-0 right now in the bottom of the sixth to the Giants. Okay, we got Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times hopping on. Dylan, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Oh no, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, can you tell me a little bit about spring training? You spent some time out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that this, in general, or you mean like the Dodgers camp this year?
I mean, what am I missing out on that I've never been to spring training before?
Well, you know, it's changed. Even in the 10 years that I covered baseball, and it's definitely changed, you know, since I was a kid, right? And the Angels used to be in Palm Springs. My family used to go down there every spring. You know, we'd go there to collect autographs. So it was much more laid back then.
It's not like that anymore? You know,
yeah, I mean, guys come into camp in shape already, right? Mm. So it's not, you know, before spring training was really a time for guys to get in shape, right? And now, obviously, you know, and this is obviously a byproduct of the fact that way back in the day, right, most players had to have off-season jobs and stuff, and they couldn't, you know, couldn't afford, basically, to just work out year-round. Now it's different, right? These guys are making millions of dollars now, and even if they're not, the potential to make millions of dollars makes it worth investing that time to just kind of work out year round. So these guys come into spring training in pretty good shape. And, you know, even with like reporting date, right, they said, you know, pitchers and catchers are supposed to be here on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Position players, right, I think with the Dodgers, I mean, they're posting stuff on their Instagram account, you know, 5-6 days before, like half the team's already there. So it's much more intense, much more focused now than I think it used to be.
From a fan perspective, like, would you suggest to me, since I've never been out to spring training, 100% get out there and hang out there for a couple days and watch baseball?
Man, you know, it's hard for me to say that now. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing in the sense that if you go there in the work, right, if you go there to watch the team work out before the games, mm-hmm. right, in the morning, regardless, they'll still have workouts, you will see the players kind of walk by you, and you, right, then there are certain areas that fans can be, and basically, like, a lot of those walkways heading out to the field, the players will walk by you. Every now and then, these guys will stop to sign autographs. You know, but, again, it's gotten pretty expensive now, too, right? I mean, again, back when I was a kid, it seemed like you could get into these things for almost nothing. And now, you know, you go out to a spring training game, it's going to cost you pretty close to what a regular season game is going to cost. And then you have to take into account, right, now you need a hotel to stay in and all that. You know, I think it's like a cool thing to do once, maybe.
Dylan, I got to be honest. You didn't sell me. I'm not going.
Okay.
I'm good. Sounds like it's going to be inconvenient and way too expensive. I'm out. I'm out of spring training.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked to just kind of fans in general, right? I mean, I was in my optometrist's office the other day, and the receptionist there, she used to go out with her family every year, and she just kind of talked about, you know, the increased costs and also just kind of the fact that, as she said, it just kind of seemed like in recent years the players were just kind of less willing to stop and sign autographs and stuff. So, you know, as her kids got older, they just kind of lost interest. And, you know, the last couple of years, I guess her husband and her daughter had been going, but even this year that nobody in her family went. So you can kind of see it's become a little bit more serious. And, you know, it's not as quite as an intimate a setting maybe as it used to be back, you know, way back in the day.
No, that's a good way to put it. I know I've gone to some summer leagues for the NBA. And, yeah, it's cool. You got all the teams that are playing there. You get a chance to, you know, sit close and watch these guys up close. But it's also serious. Like, it's, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of the players that are trying to make the team, a lot of the players that are just young draft picks that are trying to make it happen. And I know spring training is different, but I feel like there's a little bit that type of a vibe, that type of atmosphere. I wanted to ask you real quick. So Christian Yelich signed a 9-year, $215 million deal with the Brewers. Just what does that mean? What kind of dollars do you think comes towards Bellinger, the Mookie Betts of the world? What does the Yelich deal mean, you think, for some of these Dodger players when you're getting 9 years, $215 million, and you're looking at, you know, obviously some players on the Dodgers that have MVPs in their resume? What do you think it means to those players?
I think it kind of, well, it sets a market, right? So Yelich was, what is it, a year or two away from free agency still, right? So I think maybe he was 2 years out still. So, you know, I think with that, it you know, the timing, obviously, of when you hit free agency is really kind of big, right? So in Mookie Betts' case, Mookie Betts has said, I'm taking this all the way to the end. I'm going to be legitimately free, right, a free agent, in which case I can negotiate with everybody. Mm-hmm. And obviously, once you do that, the leverage now falls on the player's side, right, because you're going to have multiple teams bidding for him. And now Mookie Betts is going to be looking at a contract probably in excess. My guess is closer to the, you know, say if Mike Trout right now, right, the 426, that's kind of the record. You know, and then you have, like, say, the Bryce Harper, the 330 deal. My guess is that Betts is going to be closer to Trout than he is to Harper. So we're talking about close to $400 million here. Now, you know, in Yelich's case, obviously he decided to get the extension done now, in which case, right, the team is now shouldering some risk, right, because he could theoretically get hurt between now and when the original contract was set to expire, in which case, you know, then the team,
they're
you
stuck
know,
with it. Obviously, right,
yeah, they're stuck with that, right? So, you know, I think for Bellinger now, it kind of gives him an idea of, okay, well, this is kind of what the market would be, you know, if I decide, say, to sign 2 years out from free agency. Now, I do think it's important to note, right, that the Yelich's agent, you know, is represented by the same agent that represented Ryan Braun, and Braun also kind of signed one of those deals with the Brewers, right? So I think that, you know, in this case, there was a working relationship between the agent and the club. And so that, you know, they kind of had something to kind of go off. You know, I wouldn't read too much into it, right? In the case of Bellinger, you know, he's represented, you know, by Scott Boras. And we've seen, you know, and it's not that Boras clients are always insistent on going all the way to free agency. We've seen cases where that hasn't been the case. But, you know, they're not going to do that, I think. You know, because it feels right, like, you know, I think Yelich's thing, the average came out to $35-36 million, which feels maybe a little bit like on the light side. And you're kind of thinking, okay, well, you know, or sorry, it was in the 20s, I believe it was. So, you know, you're looking at that and you're thinking, okay, maybe that might be a little bit light. You know, I don't think that a Cody Bellinger, you know, given who represents him, is going to sign a deal where you're kind of thinking, okay, that was a little bit light. I think it's going to be, if anything, the Dodgers are going to pay a premium, you know, to make him avoid hitting the free agent market.
Dylan Hernandez, writer for the LA Times, hopping on the Sliwa Show. Dylan, this is something that I kind of have thrown around inside of the office, just talking with a couple of different guys. Who do you think is the face of the Dodgers right now? I think you could take this so many different angles, right? You can go to Kershaw, you can go to Buehler, you can go to Bellinger, you can go to Betts, you can maybe even go to Turner. But who would you say is the face of the Los Angeles Dodgers right now? Does somebody stick out to you that you feel like is really, like I said, the face?
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I mean, you could even argue that Andrew Friedman, like the president of baseball operations, the face, right? I mean, kind of all the wheeling and dealing that they've done and kind of the depth. And when you think of the big line, you know, right, the depth in the lineup and the well-stocked farm system and everything. I mean, clearly the team went in a different direction once Friedman got in charge. So you could kind of argue it's him. You know, my guess is from a fan's point, it's probably depending on how old you are, right? I think for, you know, the long-suffering Dodger fan who's been kind of hoping that this group could get something together, it's probably Clayton Kershaw or maybe Justin Turner. You know, if you're a younger fan, probably Cody Bellinger at this point.
Sure.
You know, and then there's a chance, right? L.A. is a type of market. I mean, we saw with Manny Ramirez where a guy comes in, kind of catches lightning in a bottle, and all of a sudden overnight becomes a star. So, you know, I wouldn't discount Mookie Betts becoming that guy. I'm not sure he's there yet, but it's certainly a possibility that he becomes that guy.
One quick UCLA question. Got time for that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, you had a great article in the LA Times just talking about the job Mick Cronin has done. Bruins have won 7 games in a row. They have a bye of the first round of the Pac-12. What do you think's happened? What do you think's changed with this? You know, this obviously this run by UCLA. They find themselves atop the Pac-12. That big win they had against Arizona. What's changed? Why all of a sudden the success?
I think they've really bought into Mick Cronin, what he was trying to say at the beginning, right? You know, really. And if you think about it, right, it's basically that they need to play defense. And you know, he said this in plain language, publicly, which kind of surprised me a little bit, but basically they don't have enough offensive firepower to just go up and down with teams and score with them, right? And he made it very clear to them, if you guys want to win basketball games, you guys are going to have to play defense. And, you know, I think you have to give a lot of credit to the players too, right? For, you know, these guys were all stars in high school. I mean, they've been good at basketball their entire lives. And, you know, to kind of hear that and to be able to accept that, right, and say, okay, you know, we're going to actually, I'm going to commit to winning, right? And I think, right, you've had a bit of a snowball effect, too. You know, I think where the winning is fun. And now we saw in the last game, after, when they beat Arizona, they jump in the student section and celebrating there. You know, I think that these guys are really kind of enjoying winning now. And, you know, that's become, I think, the ultimate goal rather than just kind of putting up individual stats maybe or, you know, looking for a way to get into the NBA. I really think that they've kind of coalesced around a singular goal. And, you know, that's really kind of the vision that Mick Cronin provided them.
No, it's good for LA, right? I mean, to have UCLA basketball, and SC is not doing bad either, but to have just a local school, as you get into March, you want to have one of these two teams in the tournament. So to see UCLA success here as of late, obviously good for Los Angeles. Dylan, appreciate you hopping on. Great insight, all right, buddy?
Oh, thank you so much. Anytime.
All right, that's Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times. You know, it's funny, and I mentioned this about baseball. I'm a casual fan, and Dylan 100% convinced me not to go out to spring training. By the way, are there any listeners out there that go out to spring training and maybe can paint a picture of why I should go? Never been before. All I hear is that you kick back, you drink a lot of beer, you eat some food, the baseball games everywhere you look. Dylan kind of crashed that. Dylan crashed that party right there. But when we come back, I do want to talk about baseball because I am a perfect example of how if baseball doesn't screw this up, they might have a new fan base. Why am I interested in baseball all of a sudden this year? Part of it has to do with all the attention that the cheating scandal got. But there's other things going on that I think makes baseball interesting right now. Stay right here. We'll get into it. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.